Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, animal rides have been popular for generations, so why are they being phased out in most countries? And an FAA news item says 250 people who misbehaved on planes have been referred to the FBI. Those stories and more next in the news.
Is it a customer service crisis or just a generational change in the way business is done? Mark and I talk about declining customer service in the tourism industry and some possible workarounds in our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20.
Google enhances national park exploration, and is one pilot just as good as two? We tackle those two stories at 3:35.
Finally, at 3:50, Mark answers your questions in a short mailbag segment, including inquiries about summer airfares and the increasing cost of parking charges at mid-range hotels.
Our goal is to make you a smarter traveler. Time for this week's lesson to begin right here on The Travel Guy.
On the road again.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacation. Mark and Tom here with you. Thanks for coming along. Here we are, the morning after, the night before, Mark.
Yeah, this is a travel show, but we are a Sacramento travel show, and because we are a live local show, it would be wrong not to talk about what happened at the Capital One Center last night, because that's pretty much what everybody in town is talking about today.
Yeah, the Golden One Center. There were some travelers that were involved in this. There were Warriors fans, not as many as there were the week before on that Friday game, but there were some. There was one guy sat right in front of me, and I brought my big cowbell. Not my small one, not the little tiny one. And my wife had one, too. And the interesting thing was, this guy was there.
Okay. Appears as though we have lost Tom here temporarily. I'm not sure how or why or what happened. But it definitely, last night's ball game was something that sports fans and probably just the kind of people, you know, communities tend to feed off of sports teams and the like, and that was what was definitely happening last night. It was interesting to see the game. Tom, you were there at
I am back.
You were there at the game. I noticed when the game ended, something kind of phenomenal happened. I'm watching on TV, and I see people didn't get up and go to the exits right away. They kind of stayed in their seats and kept cheering and just enjoying the afterglow of the win.
It's exactly what they did, and you know, and it can be expected. This happens so rarely. You just don't
exactly
want to get up and leave. You know, most everybody has stayed through all the interviews that were on the floor, and then if you watched on TV or saw any clips afterwards, they all moved just to the outside of the arena and hung out on the Doko area for the longest time. It's one of those things that you just want to, after all this time, you want to savor it for as long as you possibly can.
Oh, absolutely.
I got there, we got there, you know, around 3:30, parked so we wouldn't have to fight the traffic. Doors opened at 4. I've never done this before. I was in the building at 4 o'clock. That would have been well over 2.5 hours. The game started at like 5:40. So from 4 to 5:40, you know, we went into the team store and spent some money and, you know, got settled in. And
it was fun to watch. It was fun to see Vlade and Peja, and they were showing some of the guys on TV
yes,
who, from the last time that the Kings had a team of this caliber. And so for those of us who have followed the team for a while, it was fun to see some of the old guys who were back
Jay
there.
Will.
Who were back
Brad
there.
Brad Miller with more hair than a rock star.
Well, and you know what? The Warriors are 4-time champions, so I didn't feel like it didn't seem like the Warriors played a bad game last night. It felt like the Kings had to had to throw everything at him to win. So we'll see what happens now. The Warriors are, you know, like I said, they're defending champions. So one would be remiss to write them off at this point in time. They have a lot of players and they've been there a lot of times, but it does bode well for the Kings. As the announcer said last night, it doesn't look like being gone from the playoffs for a long time is having any effect on the Kings tonight.
It was a real battle. It was a great game. Everybody was on the edge of their seat, standing the last 10 minutes of the game.
A bit noisy? And,
it was, you know, it's hard to compare to the old arena because it was so many years ago, but it was deafening. It was deafening. I mean, it was earplug day. I mean, you could not speak to the person next to you without shouting in their face. It was overwhelming.
How cool is
so,
that?
Anyway, it was great. The hard part to really wrap your head around is we now need to win three more against that same team before we can call it a day. Yeah. So, you know, good luck with that. I think we can do it. I think we can do it. I'm counting on it. Let's a week from today, you're going to be on the road. You're hitting the old dusty Route 66, aren't you?
I am. I fly out tomorrow to Washington, D.C. The travel industry does a lobbying event in D.C. every year, and I try to go. It's kind of fun because lobbying, you know, these are all politicians, and say what you want. They have a lot to do with what happens to the people on the planet. And the great thing about lobbying for travel industry stuff is it really doesn't matter whether they're a Democrat or a Republican. People tend to be in favor of or against the same types of things. So you can go from one office to another and make the same pitch. And it's not really, as soon as you walk out the door, we're going to throw this in the trash because we have no intention. You know, you get a much better – it's a much more real – experience, and I kind of enjoy it. And then I'm headed out, yes, Thursday with a bunch of sports leisure travelers. We're going to do Route 66, so I'll be gone for a while. We'll be live or taped or something next weekend from somewhere on the old highway. As we do, we spend 10 days going from St. Louis to Oklahoma City, just looking at stuff that used to be.
Look at the giant ball of fuzz.
Giant rocking chair. And there's a place on the side of the road in Missouri called Uranus. But there are a lot of ways to pronounce that word, which we won't go into here. But needless to say, the man who owns the place, he's right in the middle of the Bible Belt, and he has absolutely aggravated every one of his neighbors with the name of his little gift shop and community there. So I look forward to that. There's a lot of that sort of thing out on the old highway.
At the top of every Travel Guy show, sooner or later, we get around to bringing you up to date on what we promised you at the beginning of the show, and that would be the travel news. And with it, here's Mark Hoffman.
Almost an afterthought. Let's quickly get through some of these stories here. Animal rights are coming under criticism and evaluation in a lot of countries. We don't see as many animal rights in our own country as we used to, but if you go overseas, elephants, camels, occasionally horses, are part of what some people would consider a cultural experience. You know, going to Egypt, the old pictures of tourists would be them riding an elephant. Well, the reality is that this is not good for the animals in almost every case. And the conditions in which they're subjected to and stuff are difficult. The flip side of it is that in many of these foreign countries, the animals and the income that they provide are critical to the survival of the people who own the animals. So somewhere there has to be a middle ground in there to help these people find a way to make a living without brutalizing animals, that there could maybe be a better way to do all of this. And there are a couple of organizations that are looking into that. And in the meantime, governments around the planet are trying to minimize the use of animals as tourist attractions, which is something I hadn't thought a whole lot about until I saw this article. But you know what? Good for them. Sounds like an idea. The FAA says that about 250 of the unruly passenger cases over the last couple of years were referred to the FBI for further – that would be the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So, boy, that would really ruin your day if you thought that you had done something on an airplane and it had, you know, gone by the boards, and all of a sudden one day you get a phone call or a knock on the door, and it's some guys in suits saying, hey, we want to talk to you about this. So I would just say to you, if you're thinking of, you know, getting wasted and getting on an airplane and making a nuisance of yourself, your life could change dramatically and probably not for the better. So anyway, about 250 cases referred to the FBI. Very interesting. Bali has joined the growing number of popular tourism destinations fed up with over-tourism. Hawaii's considering a bill to dissolve its government-sponsored tourism marketing agency because the people in Hawaii say there's too many people coming here. We don't need to market to people. Kind of an interesting thought.
Boy.
We talked about Amsterdam trying to reduce rowdy tourism behavior in the red light district, rolling out a ban on pot smoking on the street and reducing hours for restaurants and brothels. And so Bali now says that tourists are coming there, particularly Russian and Ukrainian tourists, both, have escaped there during the war, and they say that people are not behaving themselves. It's ruining the quality of life, and so they're going to do something about it. So this is just another thing. If you're a tourist and you're going out there, you know, Tom, I mostly travel with mature travelers, and when we go places, we don't really go to party and tear the place up. We go to learn about the place and meet the
wild
people.
Wild and crazy sports leisure vacationers.
Yeah.
Boy.
So when you're, you know, when you're going to somebody else's, in essence, their home, particularly you get on an island, you know, a community like Bali or Hawaii or something like that, you really do everybody a disservice with bad behavior, because that tends to reflect on all of the people who are not behaving badly also. And it doesn't take very many people. So I'm probably preaching to the choir, because the people who are listening to this program right now are probably not the people who are causing this problem. But nonetheless, you might know some of these people, and there might be an opportunity in conversation someday to say, you know, maybe you could take a little different approach to this. Holland America is 150 years old. They're celebrating 150 years of maritime history this year. If you're a Holland America fan, you know that they have named a number of their ships after locations in the Netherlands. The Rotterdam, they have had seven MS Rotterdam. So when somebody says, oh, Holland America, I remember that. I sailed somewhere on the Rotterdam 30 years ago. Was probably a different Rotterdam. Interesting. I didn't know that. Anyway.
The Nina, the Pina, the Santa Maria.
The Pinta, the Nina, the Pinta.
Yeah, and the Santa Maria. Santa Maria, yeah.
Yes. Yes, those were a little bit before Holland America came along.
Not much.
We had Richard Lewis on the program with us a couple weeks ago, and they are having a celebration for Richard on Thursday, August the 31st at the UC Davis Health Pavilion. I think that's what the music circus is called now. It opens, the doors open at 5:30. At 7 o'clock, there's going to be a concert. The tickets, it's a benefit. So the tickets are $200, includes the concert and dinner. Proceeds benefit Broadway Sacramento. It is to honor Richard Lewis. So job well done. If you are a big fan and would like to be a part of that, gosh, and I don't even have go to BroadwaySacramento.com, and you can find some information there. I have this announcement, but it doesn't have a phone number or anything except BroadwaySacramento.com if you'd like to be part of that honoring Richard Lewis. And finally, airlines are cutting summer schedules out of major cities on the East Coast, including D.C. and New York. The reason is because there aren't enough air traffic controllers to be able to handle the maximum amount of traffic. So the airlines, in agreement with the FAA, are cutting some flights proactively in order to avoid summer meltdowns. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. And remember now, travelguysradio.com for links to most everything we talk about. And our special guests can be found there. You know, I tried to call my Vicky to get a haircut appointment, and nobody picked up, Mark. So I think that's a sign about customer service crisis. It's not just a generational thing.
You want to know a secret?
I don't know what it is.
You want to know a secret? They closed today because there was some kind of family thing for somebody in the shop. We should tell the listeners, you and I get our haircut at the same beauty shop out here on Folsom Boulevard, Vicky's Nails. Yeah, I tried to get in yesterday. They were all booked, so I'm having to pay $45 for a haircut in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you see what that looks like. Okay, more travel guys coming up right after this. Stick around. Hey there, Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, follow along at travelguysradio.com. Mark?
Well, let's see here. I'm in the travel industry, so I have to, on a daily basis, make phone calls to people and try to track down folks. Of course, you can do a lot of your business online now, but sometimes, I'm sure most people would agree with this, and it's not just in travel, there are some business situations that where a phone conversation still works better than email back and forth, because you need to bounce some things off of somebody, and you can go back and forth six or eight times in 2 minutes, whereas doing that online might take you 2 or 3 days to be able to accomplish that. And sometimes things are time sensitive. And I've noticed over time here, especially the last couple of weeks, as I've made a tremendous number of reservations for hotels, restaurants, attractions for some of our tour groups in the coming season, that almost nobody answers their phone anymore. Have you noticed that?
I have, and quite frequently. I learned a long time ago a little trick. It had to do with getting customer service for some technology we were using at the radio station to deliver audio. And one of the choices was, is this an off-air emergency? And I would say no, and I would sort through. And I'd never get callbacks. It took forever. I discovered if I always chose it's an off-air emergency, somebody would pick up right away, and the quality of service is better. But then I would have to explain it would be an off-air emergency if I couldn't get somebody to help me. So let's just move on. So I think you're right, Mark. They don't answer. We were talking about it before we came back from the segment. Sometimes you just got to push the wrong number.
Well, and that's it. I mean, you talk about workarounds for this, and there are precious few. If you can't get somebody to answer the phone, one thing that you can do is you can go to their website, and occasionally there will be a place where you can leave an inquiry or ask to have a question answered by using a link on their website. Another thing is that many of the businesses now have these chat bots that pop up on screen, and I assure you that almost all of them are bots. There is nobody sitting there going, oh, wow, somebody's on the computer and wants to talk to us and runs over and says, hi, my name is Joe. What do you need? That's not the case. They're hoping that the chatbot can answer your question in some way, shape, or form. And if it can't, ultimately, there may be an option there for the bot to alert somebody. And if there's somebody available, you may ultimately get to talk to somebody. So that is a workaround that doesn't work often. The email thing doesn't work often either. As you mentioned, sometimes the best thing to do is if it says for reservations, press 1 to speak to the front desk, press 2, and you're looking for something else, and by the time they get to 6, you realize that none of these fit what you need, the person you need to talk to. So sometimes just use logic or use illogic. Use the place where the number that you think, the prompt that you think is most likely to get you a live voice. Be polite and say, gee, you know, I have this question. I'm not sure who to talk to. Your phone system is a little confusing. Could you help me with this? Frequently, you will find that the person at the other end is willing to help you. And also, you'll frequently find you're not the first person to tell them this.
For sure.
So they may already have a standard answer to help get you where you're going. And they already realize that the system isn't perfect. And you would think in the tourism industry that there's a lot, it's a people business. So you would think that making the investment in having a few extra people or an extra person to answer the telephone would be important. I know at my company, you know, when we're shorthanded and people have to wait on hold for a couple, 3 minutes even to speak to us, it bothers all of us because we just feel like that, you know, we can do better than that. And I would never even consider a system where people, you know, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we have time. You know, if my office is really busy, it might be a couple hours or the next morning before I can get back to you. And that might not be timely enough for what you need to do. So to me, it just seems like I don't have a problem with making a restaurant reservation online for a party of two or four or something like that. Open table seems to be an efficient way to do things. And I understand that. But if I want to call the restaurant and make a special request or let them know about some sort of dietary situation or special occasion or something like that. That phone number should be on the website. And increasingly, Tom, when you do business with tourism entities, hotels, restaurants, and the like, you can scan the entire website. And I'll tell you what, you can't find a phone number to save your life. Unless you try looking under a general menu and under Contact Us, sometimes you will find something there if you can't find anything else. But you really have to dig. And it kind of seems to me as a customer who's looking to do business with you, in my case sometimes several thousand dollars at a time, why should I have to track you down to do business with you?
You know, we have this little website, travelguysradio.com, and there's a place there where you can go and leave a comment. If you happen to be, you know, a Gen X or a younger person that says, you know, I don't need any of this customer service, I can get by without all of that, drop us a line and let us know how that's going to work for you and help us out, because it almost seems like customer service is being phased out in so many areas. Mm-hmm. And I'd really be curious to see what people are thinking.
A Gen X person has no issue in most cases with a ticket being on their phone. Now, the only thing I want to ask that person is, what if you go to the game or the concert or the show with eight other people and all their tickets are on your phone? Now, you've mm-hmm. all gotten into the theater or the ballpark or whatever, and now how does everybody know where it is that they want to go or how to get back there after they got a hot dog or went to the restroom or whatever that situation is? So, I'm with you. I would love to hear from some of our younger listeners who say, hey, you know, speed and efficiency trumps customer service a lot of the time.
You know, here again, ticketless entry using your phone, all of that it's become pretty commonplace now. The transition from paper tickets to phone tickets was a bit of a challenge for a lot of folks. But now, you know, it's like second nature, and to the point where I'm extremely comfortable with it. In fact, you know what? I haven't lost a ticket ever since we started doing this.
Yeah, but welcome to my world where I've got 20 or 30 people at a time, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, coming up. Google enhances national park explorations. We're going to talk about that. Is one pilot better than two? We'll talk about that, too, when we come back, right here on The Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, known as the Trouble Guys. I mean, Travel Guys. Travel and entertainment guys.
You were right.
Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Listen, you asked folks there before the break to go to travelguysradio.com and share their comments if they liked. And already we've had several people weigh in, so I just thought I would share what some of them had said about our comment that telephone customer service is really, really wanting these days. KP says, one thing that would be a big help is to stop outsourcing customer service to outside the United States. Hire people who speak the language of the country being serviced. How can anything get resolved if the customer and the agent cannot understand each other? It has to be frustrating for the agent also. And then they go on to talk about parking at small hotels, which is actually something we're going to refer to later.
Mute your phone. See, we just do things right here live on the radio, and we don't mess around with, you know, secret codes and so forth. That happens once in a while. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens if you're having a phone conversation while you're on the radio mm-hmm. and you don't mute your cell phone, you get that other little guy's voice there.
Actually, Okay. Yes. Okay, here's a couple of other comments. Sadly, the service crisis is hardly restricted to travel and airlines. It's a top-to-bottom crisis throughout the country. Seems almost every corporation of any size cares only about their bottom line and nothing else. I can't necessarily disagree with that, because it doesn't seem to make sense in at least the customer service as I see it. Let's see. I'm just starting to get back to my travel norm, so I may not be seeing everything others are. But I think we worldwide are having a crisis in civility, not just from service providers, but in the general population. I find if I am polite, I get polite service in return, especially face-to-face. Online, it's a lot harder to show that you're on the phone. It's a lot mm-hmm. harder to show that you're being nice. That's a really good comment.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with that. It's a little harder I said something on the phone to a supplier in Kansas City. I won't name the supplier, and I'm not going to tell you what I said, but I said something the other day that would have been considered regionally incorrect. And one of my staff members heard me say it, and the person on the other end didn't respond very positively, and I was like, I couldn't understand why. And when I got done with the call, I related to the staff member. I said, boy, I said that, and the person on the other end just kind of turned off, and they said, well, I'll explain to you why that is because you used something that really kind of sounded like you were talking down to those folks, the people on the phone, even though you didn't mean to say it that way. Mm-hmm. That's the way they interpreted it immediately, and that's why they shut you down. So anyways, it's harder. A smile goes a long way, and it's a little harder to smile over the telephone. But anyway, thank you to those of you who very quickly weighed in with some of your thoughts. There are some really good thoughts and opinions. TravelGuysRadio.com is where you can leave a question about travel, and we answer some of them on the air. We're going to answer a couple of them in a few minutes. And also, if you've got a comment about something about the show or something like that, we have thick skin here, so feel free to send a note and say anything you want. Just be civilized. Google Maps says they have enhanced national park features for easier exploration. This is a story from our friends at TravelPulse.com. And, you know, lots and lots and lots and lots of people, like all of us, use Google Maps to be able to get places. And so this month, Google is issuing four updates that involve national parks. Now, frequently when you're in a national park, you may have some reception issues. Mm-hmm. So Google is trying to address some of those without causing, you know, nobody wants to drive into Yellowstone and see a great big cell tower in the middle of some scenic area.
Well, they have all these cell towers. You've seen the mark. They make them look as much like a pretend plastic pine tree as you possibly can. I mean, yeah, you have a whole field of those.
They're not really the best plastic fake pine trees because they kind of stand out in the landscape. But it's better than having a tower up there. And sure. The other thing is that because we've all become so dependent on those signals, it is kind of an important thing. But you can now easily pinpoint parks' key locations in Google Maps, as well as campgrounds, visitor centers, and trailheads. So what they've done is they've gone into their national – when you pull up a national park now, there will be a lot more things that will be visible within the parks on the Google Map that will enable you to plan your visit to the parks much better. And so good for the folks at Google Maps for taking the time and making the efforts to do something like that. It almost sounds like somebody was listening to the people.
Honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the nearest restroom in the forest?
And that's exactly the type of thing. You know, where is the visitor center? So I don't have to hang it out the window. I can go, you know, use a facility that was designed for something like that. So, yes.
Where's the cocaine-sniffing bear? We want to avoid him.
For sure. Another story that we had here is airlines are sniffing around this now. I don't have an opinion on it as of yet, but I intend to run it by some people in Washington, D.C., some airline people next week. Is one pilot as good as two? Have airlines become so automated that for the regional jets that you could put one person in the cockpit instead of two? Of course, one of the reasons you have two people is that if for one reason the first pilot becomes unable to perform their duties,
sure,
the second person is there to make sure that the plane lands safely.
Yeah, safety purposes.
What the airlines are saying is this almost never happens. And so we've got a second person up there, and we're terribly short of pilots. Mm-hmm. And if we only had to put one person up there with a high level of experience instead of having two people up there and the second person perhaps not have as much experience, we don't have enough of those people. So we're not flying as many flights or as many planes as we could be. And I'm not sure, as a person who flies on a plane, when they say it almost never happens, that seems to indicate to me that it does happen on occasion, that they need that second person.
We've had stories right here on the air where they've come down a few times every year, mm-hmm. where a pilot became incapacitated by, for one reason or the other, had a heart attack, and the co-pilot had to step in, maybe even had to have assistance with somebody. What was the one the other day where they had to call back into the cabin? Is there a pilot on board?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and somebody from a different airline happened to be deadheading and came up and helped them land.
That's often enough for me.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is that, you know, we've all seen movies where the guy comes from the back who's never flown a plane before, or the lady comes from the back who's never flown the plane before and successfully lands it on the runway, and air traffic controllers will tell you that that is pure fantasy, that almost is almost impossible that somebody without any flight, without any pilot experience, or without pilot experience in a 737 aircraft could bring one of those successfully down. They say it would be absolute total luck if that happened. So it's interesting, though, when it I'd love to ask Charlie Leoka about this and see what he has from Travelers United, because I'd love to hear the consumer side of things, but I don't want to hear the overreacting, oh my God, we're all going to die. If it almost never happens, what is almost never? Define that for me. Is that one in every 500,000 flights, or one in every million flights, or one in every 10 million flights? And how many flights fly every day? So therefore, how often does it really happen? If you see Airlines for America, if you're a traveler and you're reading something and that's talking about what a great job airlines doing, and you see that it comes from Airlines for America, just know that that's the airline's lobbying entity. So anything that has Airlines for America on it is so one-sided as to be, you might as well be watching Fox News or MSNBC News, because you're only going to get one side of the story when you get things from Airlines for America. So we'll kind of keep an eye on this story, I guess, as it evolves, if it evolves at all, if somebody doesn't shut it down right away. But the idea of having only one pilot, it makes me nervous. I have to say, it makes me nervous. But then again, lots of private planes fly all over every day with only one person in the cockpit. So it almost never happens.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, you know, you watch movies over the years. A lot of times you'll see two pilots and a navigator sitting behind it, and some mm-hmm. controls over there. There'd be two, three, maybe four people in really large aircrafts. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of it is more automated now. And to their point, I'm sure that in many cases those things can be easily handled by one person. I'm just wondering, you know, and what if the pilot has to go to the bathroom? You know, I mean, I'm just wondering about those kinds of things. All right. We're going to take one final break here. And when we come back, we're going to dig into the mailbag and answer a couple of your questions. There were a bunch of them in there, so I just tried to pick out what I thought were a few of them that were relevant. Talk about airfares for the summer and the cost of parking. At a lot of hotels that didn't used to charge for parking seem to be charging for it now. What's all that about? All that next, right here on The Travel Guy.
Hello, my friends. Welcome again to another edition of The Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. By the way, if you so desire to take a listen to a past Travel Guys radio program, if you go to travelguysradio.com, right there, the whole array of travel shows from years gone by are available. And if you would like to be alerted, if for some reason you're, you know, listening on a Sunday just doesn't work for you and you'd like to be a podcaster for later, you can sign up to be notified about our podcasts on a regular basis. Usually they're available by Tuesday, sometimes Monday. And then you can pull them out of the air there and listen to them at your leisure. Okay, it's time to dip into the infamous Travel Guys mailbag, which, by the way, at any given time you got a question for the Travel Guys, there at travelguysradio.com is where you'll want to go to post your question. Mark, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, John L. writes, my family and I are planning a vacation in New England in late September. John says, I've heard you talk about high summer airfares on the show, and need to buy early. Since we aren't traveling until September, what would you suggest?
Well, John didn't originally indicate what cities, so I wrote back to him to ask what cities in New England he was going to go in and out of. And he replied, into Boston and out of Burlington, Vermont. So this, so his trip kind of combines the best and the worst of the airfare situation right now. Boston is a major city, so there's a lot of competition there. Every major carrier flies in there from just about every hub. So Boston airfares are reasonably under control. Burlington, on the other side, is a secondary city with more limited service and smaller planes, so their fares are much higher. So it's likely that John is going to get a fairly decent fare for his family into Boston and pay something more ridiculous back out of Burlington. If you could go in and out of Boston, it would probably be cheaper. But then if it takes you an extra day's rental car and hotel room and meals and all of those things to reach the city that you originally wanted to get to, then that has to be figured into what the savings are for airfare, and I'm sure the airlines are smart enough to have figured all that out. So anyway, if you're flying into secondary cities, there are fewer seats and the fares are higher, and they tend to go up quicker. So John, despite the fact that you've said that you're not going to New England until late September in New England, it sounds to me like you're probably going for fall color season, or that that's one of the reasons that you're going. And I have to tell you, in north of Boston, in northern Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, late September and early October is one of the busiest times of the year. So hotel rates are the highest. So you'll want to go during the week if you possibly can. Avoid the weekends. Or if you're doing a week-long trip, you know, don't start and end on the weekend. Start and end middle of the week. Your airfares will be better and your hotel rates will be better. But this is kind of one of those hidden things where you think, well, I'm not going until late September. I wouldn't need to buy early. But because that is really a peak season at that time, you and because the airlines have relaxed their cancellation rules for canceling tickets, really, I would take a look at fares now, and I would probably consider buying tickets no later than early June or so because, again, this is especially since you're using one secondary airport, you could get into a bad situation and there's a conference in that city and tickets are hard to come by and very expensive. So at least do some preliminary shopping now so you have a benchmark and go back in a few weeks and take another look, see where fares have gone, and then you can start to get an idea of when you should buy in advance. But I would say probably you're still looking at 3 months ahead of time.
All right. If you're just joining us, this is the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, and we are answering questions from the TravelGuysRadio.com mailbag. Caitlin C. would like your input, Mark, on something. She says parking used to be free at smaller hotels, particularly ones in the suburbs. Lately, she's noticed that even places like Hampton Inns and Courtyards are charging $10 to $15 a night to park in previously free areas. Desk clerks have no clues as to why there are new parking charges, and generally, she says, management doesn't return phone calls. Oh, we've talked about that. She just wants to know why these new charges have suddenly popped up.
Well, couple of things. This is what's called drip pricing. You pay a rate to get into the hotel, and then there's a destination or a resort fee, or it's a suburban property and they don't have those fees, but you show up and surprise, they want a modest $10 or $15 charge to park. And you're saying, well, gee, this is a suburban area and you know, doesn't seem to be any shortage of parking. Why would that be? What I do in those situations is I inquire, does this mean that you have some added security? Is there a security guard or a security service that drives through your parking lot? And I mean, I'm polite about it. I just want to know because the desk clerk isn't the person who imposed the fee or decided what the system is. So I just want to know what is different here. Also, I kind of want to know if you decided to charge a new parking charge and you have security in your parking lot, why is that? Mm-hmm. Did you have some problems? And a lot of times desk clerks are not real good public relations agents and they'll spill the beans really easily and say to you, you know, well, yeah, we had to do this because we had four cars broken into in the last 2 weeks. So the manager decided that we should hire some security and make sure that the cars are safe. So the good news would be that perhaps there's a security guard in the parking lot. The bad news would be that there's a reason there's a security guard in the parking lot. So, but in most cases, I'm finding the same thing that you are, Caitlin. Hotels that used to charge for parking are charging something for it, and they give you something to go out and put on your dash or something like that. I suspect that nobody is checking, but if they are, then what's the penalty if you get caught without paying for parking in a hotel parking lot? I think that places that are charging $10 or $15 for parking and are using this drip pricing method are really doing themselves a disservice, because I don't think that they are going to find that. Consumers are getting a lot smarter, Tom, and they're saying, well, the hotel was $149 and the resort fee was $20 and the parking was $15. So really, the hotel room wasn't $149. And what those of us who are consumer advocates are saying is that what we would like to see is on the page that says the hotel room is $149, we would also like to see, and there is the resort fee, and there is a fee for parking, and here are the things that you will have to pay if you come to this hotel and you have a car or you don't have a car or whatever. Interesting thing, Tom, I just saw where one hotel now is charging for DoorDash deliveries. They have a restaurant in-house. Mm-hmm. And if DoorDash comes to the hotel, they have to check in at the front desk, and there's a $2.50 fee for having something delivered to your hotel room. And I'm thinking, wow, that's bogus. I could just come down and meet the guy in the parking lot and undo that. That's just a little bit bizarre. It's a Marriott hotel in a medium-sized city, which is charging people who deliver food to rooms to people in the hotel a $2.50 surcharge for the privilege of entering their hotel property. How interesting!
So,
is that?
See if I understand this correctly. You order something from the cafe, and instead of having a hotel employee bring it to your room, they contact DoorDash?
No. If you don't order from the hotel cafe and you order something from the outside bringing it in, I think what the hotel's trying to do is say you should be ordering in-room dining and getting your food on site, and so we're going to do this to discourage you. And I suspect they're going to catch a lot of negative feedback for that. I can't imagine just because I chose not to eat in your restaurant at whatever charges that you have and I've chosen to go elsewhere, I would think that would be my choice and I wouldn't be penalized for it. But we'll see. Well, I've made a note of the hotel and I'm going to watch their Facebook page and stuff like that to see, because a couple people have already spouted off about it. So we'll see what happens.
Wow. Correct me. DoorDash, they bring you your food. You order a restaurant or whatever, fast food, and you use the DoorDash service. DoorDash is paid by the restaurant or by the customer?
Depends on the arrangement that the restaurant has with the customer. If the restaurant has an arrangement with DoorDash, then oftentimes the cost of it is absorbed by the restaurant, which, of course, you can argue as to how that comes out in the end. But otherwise, the customer is paying for it directly. I'm guessing in the case of this hotel, the customer is already paying for a surcharge. Anyway,
well, okay.
Time to go. Dance like
it
nobody's
is.
Watching.
All right, there you go, my friends. Mark has officially signed off and is now headed to the Giants game, which I think is rain delayed. All right, folks, big show next week. Lots of stuff to make you a smarter traveler. Don't miss it. American Travelers joins us. You'll have to tune in and find out who they are and what they do right here on The Travel Guys. Thanks for joining us.